today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Las Vegas is a it's a hospitality city.
Of the live show. He showed pictures of his luggage in the street.
Rolling. Just rolling. And because it's a hospitality city, what happened is the EMT said, we're going to take you to the hospital. Please hold on to this check ticket. You'll need this to retrieve your luggage at the hospital.
Because it's noodles made out of flour, which goes right to your omentum. And oil, which makes you expand even further. Say anything. Don't say anything. I didn't like being next to you, and because both of us looked like seriously manatees on stage. And
I loved being next to you.
Thank you. All right, but anyway, everything fat I did, you have a backup fat, and it drives me nuts because I look at you and I see me, and you probably look at me and see you, and it's just not fun. So anyway, getting back. Sorry. I love you like a son. I love you like an older son, but I look at you
and a man should never have to bury Mike. A man should never have to bury his son.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
If you are ever compelled to take a red eye back from Las Vegas, Nevada,
yes,
after a whirlwind weekend, I would recommend not doing it. I would say it might not be the best idea. I will tell you that there are different levels of exhaustion. There is there is like work hard exhaustion.
Yes.
Which means you've done a lot of work. You know, that's for people that really, I think, work physically or mentally in like a law school weariness situation.
Yeah, or like a Habitat for Humanity where you build 20 houses in a weekend.
Right.
Then, you know, there is exhaustion due to mental anguish, that kind of, I've experienced that kind of exhaustion with, you know, my parents passing. And that can really wear you out. Then there is the type of burn the candle at both ends, unlike something you ever do during the year, exhaustion, where my body clock was so incredibly messed up before I even left Las Vegas that upon arrival in the wee hours of the morning on at Fort Lauderdale International Airport, I am not sure exactly when my body will get back together. I really don't know when it will ever happen. And the other thing about it is that, as anybody who's traveled with me knows, those cross-country flights put me in the best frame of mind. It's absolutely, there's nothing better about it. But
you know, one of the best parts of my job through the years has been to try to keep you just sane on a cross-country flight.
Yeah.
It's a tough lift.
Not easy.
It is.
You're not a happy traveler. The airlines get worse. I'm going to lead today with the JetBlue experience. JetBlue, an airline that I think I've touted in the
air. Yeah, you actually have come on here and said, well, this is your JetBlue guy.
It's really terrific. Those days are over. You're a Mosaic member. They've been
what?
I'm not a Mosaic.
It's their premium.
I'm not a Mosaic member. But
that's the seats that come with a seatbelt.
My brother's a Mosaic member.
Thank you. Well, that's
not you. I was thinking of family, Mike. I got you guys confused.
That's nice.
By the way, a Mosaic member is the seats are very special. They're made out of little tiles. So that's the Mosaic member.
By skilled Italian artisans.
Yes. Yeah. Mosaic member. I am not. Nor will I be, because I think I've alluded to the fact that they may be going in a certain direction. They might not be what they used to be. And I'm here to tell you that both coming and going, it's just where to begin. I will begin with the beginning for our trip back, where we are departing at approximately little after 10 o'clock. We might have been a few minutes late, nothing terrible, but really, when you have a red eye and there are no other people around, it just seems to me you could actually get away a little earlier. They weren't able to pull that off because the March of the Living Dead that were coming onto my my flight, the sleepy pajama wearing stinky bad breath customers that were, you know, pouring onto my flight were, I think, a little tardy and a little sluggish getting on
the
plane.
It's a sad flight home.
Well, I mean, it's always a sad flight home. There's a magical energy at McCarran departures. It's very different than McCarran arrivals.
Very. The excitement is over.
Yes.
The too much weekend has been had.
And there's a lot of regret.
Lots of it.
It's a lot of regret, and including our regret of using the slot machines, even at the airport. Which, hoping for that one last moment that never comes. You know, and the incredible slow-moving Japanese woman who is not going to in any way help you do anything but just stare.
Right.
God love her. So we're coming back, and there is a Korean War veteran in a wheelchair that is led onto the plane, and he is he is sitting in our row. It's him, my wife, and Carla, and I immediately, and Carla says, we say thank you for your service. And it turns out that this man is bereaved also, that he's just lost his wife.
No.
69 years of marriage. And he's very, very sad. And he's got, I think he might be from Cuba, but I'm not sure, but he had a very heavy Hispanic accent. And he's telling Carla, who's in between us, his story, and I'm listening to his story. And you're hearing this, you know, this very compelling story about a man who loved his wife and how she got an injury and took a fall, broke a leg, and then it got worse. And because of her advanced age, she passed away.
Right.
And it's very, very compelling. And he's just a very nice man. He's not over the top. He's very bummed. I mean, he's going through a really tough time.
Yeah.
And it really would have been nice if the JetBlue flight attendants at the end of the flight, when all he was doing was inquiring about his wheelchair, had shown even one shred of compassion for this man.
Nothing.
So that pissed me off. Mm. And because of that one moment, I have decided to tell you the whole tale of the JetBlue experience, where twice during the flight, my wife actually got up out of her seat because on a red-eye flight, when you're traveling across the country and everybody's trying to get a little shut-eye, it really doesn't work when the flight attendants are up at the front of the plane screaming their conversation at each other.
No.
And by the way, both coming and going, let me tell you what JetBlue does right. JetBlue, and this is for people that might be switching jobs, trying to get into another line of work. If you're looking for great, nonstop, manic conversation during your job from the beginning until the end, check into JetBlue. You might be able, because I will tell you what they were great at. They were great at animated, loud conversations between themselves. I have made this point before that the shittiest crews on airlines are the ones that just love themselves.
Yep.
Because all of their energy, every ounce of their energy, every single bone in their body is dedicated beyond my wildest dreams to love of themselves and not customer service. Now, the way out, it was okay that every customer on the plane was parched beyond parched on the five-hour flight because due to the kind of turbulence that may have affected a field mouse, they were delightfully asked to stay seated during the entire flight. So there was no food service, no beverage service. This is a five-hour flight, over 5 hours. And back in the day, when airlines were something really special, that would have actually included some sort of dinner service.
A meal.
But now they couldn't even get their over-animated asses up to give anybody a club soda and one of those popcorn chips that they love to serve. So it sucked beyond sucked. But on the way back, and really this is the way I heard it through Bose headphones.
Ooh.
This is what I hear on the planet here. Where all of a sudden Carla's in the middle seat and goes... And gets up and walks up to the front and tells him, could you please just keep it down a little bit?
Yeah.
It was terrible. And then at the end, this man wants, just inquiring like an old person that needs a wheelchair.
Sure.
He inquires about his wheelchair and the attitude, how was the tone? Something like, sir, we'll make sure we take care of it when we get on the ground. Okay.
Mm-mm.
I got the okay part. Mm. And I'm just sitting there going, and nobody,
wow.
Of course, nobody cares except for us. Oh, and by the way, there's nothing quite like the complete lack of communication when a plane is not taking off. And then when a plane gets an update from the pilot after making it on time due to a faster flight and then lands. And for the second time, the JetBlue tradition of not having a gate available at the airport. And you might say, well, why is that? Why is that all the time? Well, it's very easy. It's very easy. They're cheap and they don't have enough staff to accommodate the sardine cans full of human beings that they jam onto planes, because it's a very lean operation as far as costs. And that's the way they do it.
Don't they pass their savings along to you?
Oh, boy, do they. They're saving so you can enjoy great conversation all the way back. So who had 5 minutes? No. Who had 10? I had 20 minutes to get to the gate. I'm going to sneeze.
Okay, he's going to sneeze. I will say this. The first time I talked to upon landing, I said, how was your flight? He said, no beverage service. First thing he said.
Yeah, you would have liked to have a...
I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I thought for some reason, I thought when you said 10... on Sunday, I thought you were leaving at 10 in the morning.
That was my inclination, too. I thought for some reason.
None of you knew that I was taking a red-eye. I was taking a Sunday overnight 10 red-eye, which was misguided. There was nothing to do on Sunday. There was really no reason for us to do that. And so, but, you know, I think it was something about flights available and cheapness of that.
Cheapness, probably.
It was
cheap.
You sound like Trump. Yeah.
It was so cheap. It was misguided.
Sad, late, beverage, loud.
Didn't you switch airlines, too? This is the rub.
Yeah,
you
switched
airlines
for
a better
Spirit
experience.
And by the way, from everybody I talked to at that wonderful airline, good call on my part.
A
slightly
better experience.
You know. By the way, and I bought an even more legroom seat. This is what a rube I am.
Nice.
This is what a rube I am.
Rockefeller.
This is what a total rube I am. Because the even more legroom seats include the front row, which I bought. I'm like, hey, we got the front row, Carla. We're really excited. We have an even more legroom seat in the front row. Well, the front row is the bulkhead.
Yeah.
Which is not even more room. It's less.
But you get the joy of staring at a carpeted wall. You get to stare at a carpeted wall.
Right. Sucked ass.
Oh, no.
I mean, the air travel experience. And then, so he lands, and he lands, you know, I guess about on time because we got out of the airport late. And then it's the number one pet peeve that I have with airlines is you fly across the country, you land, and your plane sits.
Right.
On the concrete,
you wait.
Waiting because they don't have their crap together to figure out how they can accommodate. You know what? It's one silly little employee that has to take a joystick and suck a big tube up to the door and then open the door and let people get off. And it's just like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. You need the guys with the flashlights.
Yeah, the sticks.
To go left, go right, you know, that are down there, you know, taking their, you know, dealing with their pot hangover so that they can bring their the planes in there. So anyway, it was about a half hour from the time we landed until the plane pulled into
way
the gate.
Way too long.
Which was just and just nuts. And the pilot got on at 5:45 a.m. and said,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we have a pilot. Someone's actually speaking. One of the JetBlue, I don't have to communicate with the customer's pilots. But by the way, it's another tell for that airline. You know, we're the JetBlue pilots. We're too cool to have to tell you where we're going or what we're doing because we're not going to say a f***ing word to you for the entire flight. Now, and for people like me and all the other phobic flyers
that
like to know what's going on, thank you, Captain. Thank you.
Do they sound like Spicoli when they talk?
Well, he looked like, you know what he looked like? He actually looked a little bit like a combination of Martin Short and it was a combination of Martin Short and who's the guy that was on Laughing? Artie Johnson. Martin Short and Artie Johnson.
So he was handsome.
Gray hair. Kind of like Steve Bridges if Steve had more hair.
Oh, we're not going back.
We don't have seen that.
We don't have a gate, I must say.
So it's
someone with experience. You know.
Yeah.
So he goes,
ladies and gentlemen, we're from the flight deck. We're happy. We're welcome to Fort Lauderdale. We're still waiting for a gate. Should be about 10 minutes.
Thanks for that. Incredible. And then a half hour goes by.
Sure.
Which really, when you're flying 5 hours across the country, that's really
that's
the cherry on your sundae.
Yes.
And the poor lady who got up and asked because she had a 7 a.m. connecting flight for our flight, which was going to arrive at 5:30 and arrived at 5:45 and then got to the gate at 6:15.
So it gets dicey.
It was a little slice of sunshine.
Yeah.
So I got up. And my one, I look at the flight attendant who was just as unpleasant as they come. And I said to her, man, you guys used to be really, really good.
Good.
And, oh, good. I'm glad you said that.
My wife was more taken aback by the smile that I got than I was. I just looked away and I didn't care after that.
Oh, boy.
But my wife said the smile was this, you know, I'm an a-hole smile.
Sure.
And so fine, JetBlue. Yeah. Thank you. Thank
goodbye.
You very, I've got a little podcast to do that. And, you know, as far as the whole, look, I don't know what airline is out there where it's going to be a 10.
Southwest.
They exist.
Southwest.
Oscar, you never say a bad word about Southwest.
I had a great experience on the way home.
And you had a great experience on the way out.
Yeah.
And you, as we will get to later in the show, because a lot of people that listen to this show were not in Vegas and they don't know what happened to you. But Oscar is the walking wounded today.
Of course.
And every day in Las Vegas, we will explain that. You rarely have anything to say about Southwest Airlines.
There has to be, just for clarification, I don't expect much when I go into these. I'm also a guy who's ridden from a major metropolitan Latin American city to a pueblo in a cargo plane. So when you've had those experiences in my life, so a seat and an option to get a beverage at least once throughout the flight
is a luxury.
It's a big win.
So
it's
a big win. Your secret is lowered expectations.
Yeah, I don't have
when you start your trip by standing.
Zero expectations.
When you start your trip by standing on a masking tape number on a carpet, that's your ground line. You're going to be fine.
I'm
going to
be fine.
You're going to be fine.
If I have a seat, I think I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so
Southwest, again, you give thumbs up. I don't know what a great flight. I just don't know what it can be.
Well, I mean, there is no such thing.
They don't exist anymore.
What it is, I'll give you what you got here.
Okay.
And I've talked about it. I've talked about a good flight crew.
Yes.
A nice flight crew.
Mm-hmm.
On-time arrival and departures. That's it. A comfortable aircraft that's hopefully a little less old.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say new because there are very few of them that are. And, you know, weather, I guess, cooperating.
What about a plush?
Not a lot of things.
Let me ask this.
A plush seat.
A plush seat?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess if you are a person of means and you can fly internationally, you know, like they did on Crazy Rich Asians.
Or you get a bedroom?
That's probably, you know, who knows? But,
right.
the common man.
So the cream of the crop for me is one time, and I think I was on the plane back with you guys on a Southwest flight. It was a newer plane.
Right.
There was an outlet in between my seats, like a plug-in outlet where I could actually plug in.
We had
a nice little feature.
Yeah, we have that on the, we were on a.
I've had that once in my life.
We had a United Airbus. I think it was, is it a 310 that's 3 and 3?
A320.
Or 320. So that was, we had a fairly nice United flight back, except for the medical emergency.
Now,
I will tell you, we'll get to you in a second. United, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I've flown it once in the last year. On,
pricey.
I guess the upswing. No, I guess they're on the upswing. I thought
got a decent deal on the flight.
Flights on United.
I had to do a red eye back in order to get it to a reasonable range of price, but it was a good flight and nice flight attendants. That's huge.
Okay.
That
there
was good.
You go.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it and nice involves not necessarily super smiley.
No,
but it involves engaging with the paying attention
efficiency
to the customers.
Yeah. That's it.
Which now JetBlue, you know, they're she's too busy adjusting her scarf. All right, so anyway, I was not pleased, not happy.
What time did you get home from your flight?
We arrived. We landed for our 5:30 flight at I want to say 5:45.
Okay, so a little late, not bad.
5:30, a little late. Made up a lot of time between then. By the waiting for the gate, we got to the gate at probably 6:15, and it was probably 6:45 before we got our luggage.
Okay.
I got in.
So that's arriving at 5:30. It's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable for people
roughly
that have to.
3:30 a.m.
Okay.
So that would be Monday morning.
Right.
Monday morning.
Right.
Yourself?
6:30 landing. Medical emergency delayed our exit from the plane. But by the good news is that because of that, our luggage was just about coming onto the carousel by the time we got to it.
What was the medical emergency? I have to ask. I can't wait.
I think it was fake is what I think it was. Because
you think somebody was faking an illness?
Yeah, because what happened is, first of all, we were in flight. And we said, ladies and gentlemen, is there any medical professional aboard this flight? And no one said anything. And so the flight attendants brought oxygen and was attending to a lady. She was about 3 or 4 rows in front of me in the center and, you know, bringing her huge bottles of water, not little cups of water. This merited a huge bottle of water of her own.
Celebrity.
Did you ever hear what the what the emergency was?
No, they were very quiet.
Did you eyeball her?
Yeah, she was probably about my age, African-American lady, and her husband. But when we landed, the crew comes right in with a skinny wheelchair.
Yeah.
But she gets up and walks out on her own. And by the time I get to my luggage, she's waiting for her luggage there, standing by herself, fine. I think maybe she might have arranged it just to get off the plane first.
She's standing up at baggage claim?
Yeah, with no medical attendant with her, just her and her husband waiting for her suitcase.
Did it delay everybody getting off
yes,
the plane?
Yes, because they had to bring the little wheelchair in, stand her up, shimmy her off, get her out of there, and we all have to just sit there like jerks.
Was she healthy looking?
She seemed very steady. As a matter of fact, they took the wheelchair out without her in it. She says, I think I'm fine to walk. That I heard. I'd
be pissed off unless I saw the X's on her eyes.
Yeah, I wanted to see, like in a cartoon, like a little tornado above her head or popping bubbles. But she seemed absolutely fine to me. And yeah, she got her luggage right before me, but not much before. So you know what? She still had to wait. Yeah. So there.
It's her loss.
Yeah, it is her loss.
It's her loss.
But this was my first American cross-country red eye. I've done it, you know, you tend to fly overnight if you go to Europe. But this is the first time I've done it domestically. It's a pleasure.
No, it was the whole idea is not a bad idea. It's just when you have a few combination of factors, the only thing they have to do, it's tiny little things.
Attend to you. Yeah. You're a flight
attendant.
That I
just don't understand. And then there's an attitude and that, you know, tiny little things to make it a little bit better.
Little things.
Listen, if I had that gig, and I mean this from the bottom, yeah, Mike, if you had that gig, you'd be punching out, Pat. No. If I had that gig, I would want to make my experience a little more pleasant, and I probably would be interacting with customers in a positive way.
You're more of a pilot,
especially
guy.
The older people.
You're like, no, I think
he's a desk guy.
Yeah, but he's great. No, if you're in the plane, he would be either the pilot or co-pilot, probably the pilot. And he would entertain the crew.
I see we've reached a cruising altitude of 36,000 feet. No. And my co-pilot, Arnold Schwarzenegger, would like to say this to you.
We were flying from, it might have been Denver or Las Vegas, I don't know, to San Diego. I don't know why we were going there. And the pilot said, on a beautiful day, we've got an amazing view. We're going to circle the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And
that's cool.
Some of our crew, one that I remember in particular, didn't like the idea of doing that.
Were you sitting next to him?
I thought, yes, I was. It was fun.
It
was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was not going to affect our timing at all. He said that because he was a communicator and he knew there would be people. And that was neat. I like the detail. Like if it's a great night or we're going to be we're going to be landing with the Las Vegas, great view of Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah.
Exactly. On the right.
None of that.
Side of the
I got
plane.
None of that.
Why not?
You're right. Usually you're like, if you look to the right, that's
they don't
where,
do it anymore.
Blah, blah, blah.
They don't do it anymore. It's the way, it's
if
the way
of
the
world. If you look to your right, you'll see a gate that is not ready for us.
Exactly. That's it. So anyway, it's a letdown when you're coming back after these two fabulous sold out shows we did in Las Vegas, which were just so much fun to see our listeners and the kindness, the ego gratification that the three of us receive from people, the relentless happiness and joy. We are not worthy of by any stretch of the imagination. And it is so appreciated to the point of our good friend Dirk. At the very end of the weekend, when he put his arm around me and pointed at this bar full of people hobnobbing and was so gracious to me that said something so nice and so kind. And then I waved at everybody when we were leaving the bar area, and I actually got tears in my eyes because I was so happy and so gratified for all of that. And then you get back to reality because you're taking a stinky fart machine back from Las Vegas all the way back.
A lot of people felt that way.
Now a positive.
Yeah.
Now a positive
for the good. Okay? Good.
So this is just I don't know how you feel about Asian cuisine, but I will tell you this. There are a couple of choices at the terminal for JetBlue when we're taking the red eye back. All right. So Carla is hungry. I'm not all that hungry, but I said I'll have like an appetizer. I said, oh, there's a little Asian joint down the way. I really have that kind of lo mein vibe because I'm obese.
Yes, of course.
By the way, when you're obese, you always have a lo mein vibe. Let me explain why. Because it's noodles made out of flour, which goes right to your omentum, and oil, which makes you expand even further. Don't say anything. I didn't like being next to you, and because both of us looked like seriously manatees on stage.
I loved being next to you.
Thank you. All right, but anyway, everything fat I did, you have a backup fat, and it drives me nuts because I look at you and I see me, and you probably look at me and see you, and it's just not fun. So anyway, getting back. Sorry. I love you like a son. I love you like an older son, but I look at you.
And a man should never have to bury, Mike, a man should never have to bury his son.
But it's the way I feel. It's like a family member. I'm looking at a family member. So anyway, so where the hell was I? So there are
Lo Mein vibe.
Three choices.
Yes.
You not got, allowed to say it, got, but I can think
you got,
it.
Like, you got Burger King.
Yes.
I'm going to save it for the end. The Asian joint that I'll give a plug to. And then I think it was called the Las Vegas Chop House.
Oh,
well,
that sounds
never
fancy.
In my never-ending desire to avoid restaurants with chop in the title.
Are you sure it was a restaurant? It wasn't a place for circumcision.
We sit down, look at the menu. It has like the chop salad, it has the steak, the $40 filet mignon in the airport.
Yeah, it's good steak.
You know, the special appetizer shrimp cut. And I'm looking at it, and I say, Carla, look at this stink fest. This is a dirty, nasty. I don't want to eat here. And she's like, yeah, I'm looking at it. I said, look at the menu. Yeah. And it's just, it's what it is.
This
it's
is where
like
winners over, eat.
Yeah, we're not winners.
It's overpriced.
But the beauty of you, but McCarran, at least stuff is open. Like, if you had ruined that flight at Dulles, you wouldn't have anything.
You wouldn't have any choices.
Right.
No, so there's a little, little BK, and then there's Payway.
All right.
The Asian chain. Right?
I like Payway.
Yeah.
I get me a chicken chow mein that they give you a little buzzer. You go sit at your table. I was like, why is this? It's supposed to be Chinese fast food. Well, no. The key is fresh made to order.
Yeah. Oh.
Like killing it. Like so hot that I could hardly pick it up. It was that fantastic. I said, Carla, look at this. Payway.
Payway.
Payway's big adventure.
Oh, my God. Carla said, I'm going to get a sandwich at Burger King. I said, okay, get whatever you want. Go ahead.
They
had vitamin water lemonade in the dispenser, which was, for Vegas throat, was just, the most perfect thing.
Satisfying.
So, they know
that
their
was
client.
The best. That was the best. After that, and that was before we took off, all downhill. Downhill after that. Once that last little piece of beautifully cooked chicken was, it was fantastic. I'm going to look for Payways down here in West.
Oh, you've never been before?
Let me applaud you, Mike.
I think maybe up in D.C.
Okay.
Let me applaud you for not being the guy who brings Chinese food onto an airplane.
A good man.
Because you know that people many times has gone to Payway and they've brought something on the airplane and stink up the whole joint.
My wife tried to do that on the way.
Thanks for being courteous.
I said to Shannon, you're not eating that hard-boiled egg. Not on this plane.
Right.
And, little details in an airport when you're sitting down. So we finished our little wonderful meal and the people sit in the gate area. And by the way, this is the way human beings sit in the gate area. One, two, three. One, two, one, two, three. One, two. There is nobody. You don't stack people up so that everybody sits with at least one or two spaces in between. Because we're not social creatures in a gate area. We don't want to be near anyone, and we don't. So,
you know what I noticed in the gate area when you say this? It really applies to it. We have come no further in airport seating in the last 60 years.
At all.
It is still that black leather, long metal thing that is not comfortable. It can't even be a wise use of space.
Good call.
And when people get down with their stuff,
right?
And pile it all up next to it, there ends up being half the space is taken, but no one can sit, especially if you're a couple.
Right.
Because there's one. There's single, 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 all the way over. We finally end up, we will sit next to a man and in between another man. And the man we're sitting next to has his feet up with his shoes off on his suitcase.
Mm.
What is it with feet? What is it with removing your foot gear?
They love
it. And I'm sitting there. So I'm waiting, and Carla leans over to me and goes, she says, like right after we sit down, she says, we have to move. I said, what are you talking about? We have to move.
We just sat down.
We just found this little shoehorn area. He said, his breath. I said, is that what I'm smelling? I was smelling his breath across Carla. I can't imagine what Carla looks at me and says, he is rotting from the inside.
Oh no!
That poor man.
Yeah, but other than that, it was a fantastic time and a great flight. And there's more to come. And for those of you that made it out to Las Vegas, we're very, very grateful. And we are taking a year off from Las Vegas. The Mike O'Meara show will not be going to Las Vegas next year. It's official.
Official.
So we're going to probably go somewhere else.
Okay.
And I have a pretty amazing idea about what we're going to do next year, too.
We got a hot text from Mike. Yeah. Said, I had an amazing idea. Yeah. We'll talk about it after the show on
haven't
Monday.
Haven't even talked to the guys about it yet, but it's pretty cool.
No, but you said you had something for us.
I think this works.
All right.
There are so many ways
to
make
this work. Do
you
know someone at the Andy Williams Theater?
We are not going to Branson to start the goddamn show. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Meara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Meara Show at www.mikeomearashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Meara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
So what do you think?
I don't think the sign's going to work and giving
back. The sign is wrong. A jingle, a television campaign. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart.
It's enough. The casino is our main means of income. Not the coffee shop, not the show. The casino, that's what pays all our bills. So if we give everybody their money back, we can't pay our bills. I'm sorry, we can't change our policy.
Okay, play a fun word game with me. This will do it. What do you think of when you think of a hunting lodge?
Hunt.
Yes. What do you think of when you think of a rest home?
Your rest.
So, you see, we're going to associate the Desert Inn with something beautiful. You don't think of anything here now, do you?
Gambling. That's why people come here.
That's
right. They gamble. They want to go to hunting lodge. They go to Wisconsin. They want to rest. They go to New Orleans. They want to gamble. They come to Vegas. That's what it's called, gambling, Las Vegas gambling. You see signs around this town with guys with guns shooting ducks. It's a gambling play. They don't shoot ducks, raccoons, beavers. They come to gamble. That's what we do here. Now, you're a nice guy. You make me laugh and everything. But our policy is we can't give your money back. I'm real sorry. Say goodbye to your wife. I gotta go home.
What about Miracle on 34th Street?
It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it was. Now, there was Gimbals, who was afraid that if they gave something up, that they would lose. And they wound up benefiting. He was afraid that if he gave to Macy's, he would lose his business, and he didn't. It's the same situation. This costs you nothing. To give us our money back is nothing. You would be the one who would benefit.
Wrong. In that movie, Santa Claus took care of everything. We don't have Santa Claus.
Then we get him.
Who?
Santa Claus. We get him. That's the ad campaign. There it goes. I have the chills. We get Santa Claus. He's the one on the billboard. He hands us our nest egg. We associate for the first time ever Christmas and Las Vegas. Las Vegas, a Christmas place to be.
We're finished talking.
Wait a minute. I think this is a mistake.
The junior bridal suite.
Is there a senior bridal suite?
I don't know.
But I gave him $100.
I don't know.
Can I get into this room? Is there a big living room that goes here?
I don't know.
It's the Mike O'Meara Show.
Perfect.
Mike O'Meara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now,
from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Mike O'Meara. Take it easy, baby. I worked all day. Back from Las Vegas and our TMOS 10th anniversary spectacular. We are heard all the way from the borough of Hohokus, New Jersey, to Barrington, Rhode Island, Mesa, Arizona, Lutherville, Maryland, Abilene, Texas, and Hobart, Australia. The Mike O'Meara Show is on now and brought to you by KiwiCo.
Ah, yes.
When it comes to the holidays, what do most people think of? Food, family, quality time, presents, and perhaps boxes. We all love a good subscription box, and a KiwiCo subscription box makes the perfect holiday gift any kid will love. Empower them. KiwiCo creates cool projects for kids to make learning about STEAM, that's science, technology, engineering, art, and math, fun. Designed by experts and tested by kids, Michael absolutely loves his, and he gets a new box every month. Each box is designed by experts and tested by kids, and with 7 lines to choose from, KiwiCo is great for kids of all ages. This holiday, give the gift of hands-on learning to our future. KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want to be. No commitment, cancel anytime, and monthly options start at only $16.95 per month, including shipping. For my listeners, go to KiwiCo.com/TMOS to get your first month free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference. So don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, go to KiwiCo.com/TMOS and get your first month free. That's KiwiCo.com/TMOS. We are back once again.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody who joined us in Las Vegas. Such wonderful friends to see every year out there. And we'll probably always look back on the Vegas time as one of the most special in the history of the show because it was that unique and that cool. And the challenge for me is to make it interesting and do different things and make you enjoy it more and more. So that's up to us, and we'll let you know. We'll keep you posted on what's going on. So as far as the guys are concerned, you know, I didn't see you the whole time we were there, but, you know, we all gambled a little bit. We all drank a little bit, some of us more than others. How you feeling, Rob?
I'm doing okay.
That's good. That's good. How you doing, Oscar?
I'm great considering you know, I had quite the weekend.
All right. Who wants to you know? I think we should probably lead with the Oscar thing.
I think it's a more thrilling tale.
For those of you that did not make it out to Las Vegas, Oscar Santana and his lovely wife Shannon were coming back Wednesday from the airport to start the weekend. Oscar got out there a little bit early to get us all situated and set up out there, and he always does go out a little bit earlier than the rest
of us. Just like half a day, just in case something goes sideways on that Thursday morning before everybody lands.
And this is a true story, and we were not happy about it. I was shocked you guys didn't lay this on me until soundcheck on Friday, which blew me away. Oscar was T-boned in his taxi cab by another car and was in a very, very severe car accident that required both Shannon and Oscar to go to the hospital. And, you know, right now, Rob, you and I think above anybody else at that show, we have to applaud Mr. Oscar Santana.
Oh, please.
No, he was. For being the trooper this weekend, for making it through.
Despite smelling like medicine, it was unnoticeable.
Very noticeable.
He did smell like a Tux pad the whole weekend.
I did.
Especially to your wife, who, you know, you were showing the video immediately afterwards.
Right.
You had the presence of mind to kind of photograph things that were going on. I think she was in a tremendous amount of shock when that happened.
I do too.
She really was freaked out by that. And thank God both of you came away from it without any life-threatening injuries, but you certainly had injuries and you certainly were jarred. I never asked you this. How was the cab driver doing after? Because I was wondering whether he had injuries or anything like that.
So I asked him, and just for clarification, imagine, and this, you hear about this in movies. You hear about this, I would say, in a Dateline special or when you're going to a place where we're going to celebrate our 10th anniversary show. So
the last thing on their mind was safety.
When you get to Vegas, you're like. And in Vegas, the cab line is usually so long that you always just don't deal with it.
Right.
And we usually get an Uber and sometimes a limo is the same price as a taxi. So depending on the circumstance,
you know your options. Yeah.
And I got in, and right away the taxi driver seemed distracted, and I was like, oh, please let this be a safe ride. And my wife puts her seatbelt on, and I cannot remember to this point if I did or did not. I'm almost positive I did not, because I remember looking at the seatbelt and being like, oh, that thing's like covered in something. I didn't want to do put it on.
Yeah, they're so gross. They're grosser in Vegas than they are a lot of places.
But either way, always put your seatbelt on. Trust me, that would help. I didn't get a chance to talk about this before, Mike, because we didn't want to bring down the party. We mentioned it briefly. So we're on the ride. The cab is actually making a left.
Okay.
And he makes this left, and it seemed a little off.
And you were very close to the hotel, right?
I could see the sign for the Downtown Grand.
Okay.
Like I was like, oh, we're almost there in my mind.
Yeah, but by the way, just one little side note of that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Seeing the hotels in Vegas is not relevant to being close to the hotel.
Okay, fair.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
How about this?
Is that a decent Las Vegas point?
Okay, that's fair. But no, but
true.
What's the... It's different because this is not a strip hotel.
I understand, but at the same time, you can see these hotels.
Better yet,
it mystifies me how it takes an hour after you see the hotel to get to the hotel.
Okay, because of the left-right ramp. Let me give you some distance.
You're right.
We are, I would say, a block away from the hotel.
Okay.
A block away from the hotel.
40 minutes away.
This left is made by the cab. And it's a slow left-hand turn.
Okay, he's taking his time.
and I see headlights coming towards us. And I've never been part of an accident where you see something coming before the driver.
Oh boy.
I said, move it. They're not stopping. They're gonna hit us. And I brace myself for an impact. And Shannon looks at me, what it felt like, I would say, an hour, like just staring at me like we're about to get killed.
Yeah.
That's how I truly felt that way. And then she literally, as she's looking at me, it, boom, like, and something so dry. I've never been a part of this, anything like this in my life.
So this car coming is booking.
They're not stopping. No screeching, no skid marks,
no
nothing.
Awareness of what they're going to hit.
Who is on the side that got hit? You, Shannon. Or Shannon? Oh my God. Mm.
And if you look
because you're on the right side, right?
I'm behind the driver.
Oh, you're behind the driver.
Yeah, so I'm on the left side. She's on the right side.
So the car's coming from the right.
Yeah.
It's a left turn. Left turn, yeah.
Okay.
So that happens. All I recall is like kind of not knowing what happened, and then Shannon yelling, and then like smoke coming from wherever in the car, and she's like, we have to get out of here.
And he's struck, just to be clear here. The person that hit you pretty much between the front door and the passenger side door in the vehicle you were in on the right side.
Yeah,
right?
Shannon
had been sitting in the front seat, she might have been in a lot worse shape.
No, right? No. She would have been in better shape because we were
really?
The minivan was struck
dead center.
Dead center in the
It was
in
dead
the back.
Center.
It was the back,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
And
which I would think if you hit it on the front or the back, you would at least have the opportunity for your vehicle that you're in to sort of spin and take some of, I mean, it's very, very vague science, of course, but you had nowhere to go.
And I don't know the logistics of, you know, what type of, steel cage this car has. Right. I felt fortunate. It could have been 10 times worse than it is
what
now.
What kind of car was it that you were in? Like a minivan?
It was a minivan. It had side airbag, side and window airbags, which really helped as far as I think how catastrophic this could have been.
Right.
It certainly would have been worse off than it currently is. But what scared me most was I was really more concerned about my wife, right? Where this is someone you're married to, you love, you care about, and you're like, how is this going to work? Like for me, it's just kind of like, as you see me walk around, you hear my voice. I'm just hoping for the ambulance to get here quick.
Hurry, please, to
work it all out. And I the joke about on stage where I was like, Mike's gonna be pissed about it. To be fair, I wasn't really thinking about anything else except for my wife.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And like seeing I can't believe this just happened, and you're in shock. So we get rushed to shock trauma. We get out later that morning, which was for us, but roughly after that morning in Vegas.
They take you to the reason that you go to shock trauma, without like compound fractures sticking out of your arm or anything like that. What was the reason?
Because Shannon was in back of the ambulance. They said, and this is another strange thing that I felt like I wasn't gonna leave my wife. But legally, I guess they can't take you in the ambulance with your wife if you're going as a patient.
I get it. If you are being transported, that's a protocol. That's a cover your ass medical protocol.
I didn't know.
So what they're saying is you could not just ride along and sit.
Yeah,
you were going to get medical attention yourself, had to be. So did you deny medical attention?
I said, I'm riding with my wife. I didn't deny medical attention. They looked at me and I said, I was in the car. But I'm not leaving my wife, and I'm not going to wait till another ambulance shows up in 15 minutes.
So they went along with that?
Yeah.
With you?
So we got there.
How long did it take to get to the hospital?
Yes.
We got to take a break.
Okay,
let's take a break here. The accident is over. We're going to the hospital. We're going to find out all the details with that because this really did happen. And we'll talk to Oscar about it when we get back.
TMOS Live 2019 was an unforgettable weekend with two great shows, the sights and sounds of Las Vegas, along with plenty of laughs and great times. And as we all settle back into reality, the fans have something they want to say.
Hi, I'm Joyce Woodard from Spokane, Washington, where all the cool kids live. It was the best weekend of my life. Thank you very much, and thank you to Dennis Murphy for making sure I was taken care of.
This is Steve Kelsey from Chico, California. I laughed so hard I got a headache and peed a little.
Thank you, Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, Maddie, and Katie for putting together one sensational weekend for us. Here's to 10 great years and for 10 more to come.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Jim. Great seeing you, Mr. Amato. Always a pleasure to see everybody out there in Vegas. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Joybird. Time to create furniture that matches your own fearless style. With Joybird's endless options to customize, the days of settling for something that isn't quite you are over. It doesn't matter if you crave muted beige or hot pink, or if you can dream it, because Joybird can build it if you can. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options so that your creations can stand the test of time and the wrath of your furry friends and toddlers. Plus, free fabric swatch kits are available to let you see and touch all the fabrics. And our free personal design consultants will help you go from inspiration to creation. Quality handcrafted furniture and a 365-day home trial. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/TMOS. See how Joybird can help make your dream space a reality today at joybird.com/TMOS. Go to joybird.com/TMOS and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code TMOS. We are back with Oscar, and Oscar is telling us all about this horrible T-bone situation where Shannon was on the right side of the car, yeah, and the car got hit right on the side of this minivan. And so have you ever been in an ambulance, Mike?
I'm curious.
Yes,
you have? I have. Okay, yeah. I have never been.
Actually, about 10 minutes before the show this morning. They got me back.
It's the best way to travel.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was having, about 6-7 years ago, I thought I was.
Oh, really?
One of the big ones, yeah. So they transported me, and I had an angiogram.
Okay. All right.
Have you ever traveled with luggage?
As far as, what do you mean?
Like all your luggage that was scattered all over the Vegas Strip.
Las Vegas is a. It's a hospitality city.
Of the live show. He showed pictures of his luggage in the street.
Rolling. Just rolling. And because it's a hospitality city, what happened is the EMT said, we're going to take you to the hospital. Please hold on to this check ticket. You'll need this to retrieve your luggage at the hospital.
That was the oddest part.
I bet.
Of the just like a quick sidebar you can laugh at now looking back where you're like, man, they packed all that luggage in like the side compartment of that ambulance. Like it was like they do this all the time.
I'm sorry, sir. This is too big for a carry-on. We're going to have to check it.
Scary.
I swear that like I've never seen a EMT mobile
right
like with a luggage compartment where they're like throw like they've done this enough like they're modded for Vegas.
It's a totally different world.
By the way, you know how many Uber drivers there are in Las Vegas?
How many?
35,000.
You're kidding? Oh, really?
35,000 wow. Ride sharing drivers, Lyft and Uber drivers wow. in Vegas. Pretty much.
Quite a stat.
So you say I'm gonna ride with my wife. So yes. She's in the back of the ambulance.
So we
you
get there.
Wayne Newton General Hospital.
University Medical Center.
Okay.
Look, this is why people get into the business. EMTs, doctors, they're caregivers.
Yep.
We get in. My wife is seen right away. I'm admitted.
Right.
They see us.
They recognize you?
No. No.
Oh, darn it. Right this way, Mr. Ceballos.
The EMT at the a doctor at the hospital emergency room, he had a bedside manner that was used to seeing other types of, I think, injuries, where as long as you didn't have a gunshot, a stab wound, or a bone sticking out.
Wasn't that big a deal, though.
It wasn't big a deal. The nurse was right. A little nicer about the situation. She's like, oh, and like we showed her a picture. He's like, we were in this. And then that changed her frame of mind. She's like, oh, like this isn't just like a fender bender you were plowed into.
And right? I have to once again applaud Oscar. Not only did he, turn in a great show and his organization skills were just dead on all weekend, he prepared a slideshow for the Friday night show for his story.
I'll take this opportunity to say it right now. Between Rob and Oscar and Pony and Maddie and Katie, you guys, and I told Rob on Friday night, and I think I mentioned it to Oscar certainly via text and a couple of times, but you made my job so easy to waltz. I've never, ever been aware, and we don't get happy, but I've never been aware of just such a a smooth running weekend as far as the shows were concerned, where between Dude Walker and the wonderful people at Zappos, it just was a really, really easy weekend for me to do. And that's rare.
How about
that's
Dude? Right.
There's always
how about
yeah.
Dude yeah. Walker, who yeah. was early to every sound check yeah. and stayed longer than yeah. he needed to.
And just Zappos.
And ultimate and Derek at Zappos. Yeah. Fantastic.
Great, great came people. Through. So yeah. you're at the hospital and you know, were you concerned that the injuries, you're in pain because you've gotten that initial musculature
well, yeah, that adrenaline rush is going right. away and oh, you start bad. Getting that yeah. that pain. I'll say that today was probably outside of what I thought was getting today was the first day where and you're getting this raw where I'm like, man, like this still hurts. Yeah. You know, that logic of. We yeah. don't have any like we don't have anything the big happening today or anything. So right. maybe your body and like the whatever cortisone's going through it finally says, "Oh, it's back to normal." Wait, something's off
yeah.
with you.
Right, right. And are you going to get more like X-rays pain. Or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
I think I have to go because I don't feel like it's not even like I feel 80%. I feel my body feels like it's like I would say if I'm lucky right now at 55%.
Or
like
as we would
to move around.
As we would call it, Mike, a good day.
Yeah. And my wife is worse off. But I'll say that I've never been more worried about Shannon in my life, where the only time she left the hotel room really was for the show, our live show, where right. she didn't want to miss the live show. The rest of the time she laid in bed while wow. we were there.
Yeah,
until we left for the airport.
Major yeah. automobile yeah. crash. It was not cool. And she made it out there. And man,
it made the weekend and the entire experience with our listeners. You know, I would like to say that I value and I'm self-aware how lucky we are, but it really magnifies how lucky we really are. Where you have so much love and compassion and support. Not just from you guys, but our entire listening audience.
Did you blame the car accident on the fact that you spilled the drink on the roulette table?
No.
Story.
Yeah. That was one drink, Mike, and then I got the hook.
Were you on any meds?
Yeah, of course. Pain at all? Well, okay, walking around.
Oscar had an early call like a yes. couple of nights in a row.
No, it paid off.
Yes,
it paid off as the money I would have gambled away.
Sure,
right about the next day. Mm-hmm. As we left, the only joy I saw from Shannon was her playing. She doesn't gamble. She doesn't do any of that.
Right.
She doesn't know how to do it. She's learning, but she can hit a button on a roulette wheel. On a slot machine. And we played what was, I would say, maybe half an hour, an hour's worth of Wheel of Fortune, and we hit a jackpot on the way to the airport.
Nice.
How much?
Now, this is where I feel like I'm not grateful because I've heard jackpots in the past and I'm like, oh, like $50,000.
Yeah. No, that's extremely rare to get that. If you're like,
the
if
progressive
you're getting like anything over $500, you're
doing great. $2 million.
Sure.
Right? Right.
So I literally see you see all these bells and whistles.
Sure. This is before you leave or at the airport?
This is before I leave the hotel to go to the airport.
Got it.
But Mike, we know as experienced players, anytime the Wheel of Fortune machine gives you the voice of Charlie O'Donnell, something yes. good is about to happen.
Wheel of Fortune.
Congratulations.
And it wasn't the turning wheel. This was the right signs coming together.
Oh, okay.
By the way, as yeah. a degenerate, notorious
yes.
slot player,
yes.
that's really the only way you're going to get a good pay. You're not going to hit the $1,000, which no. is the wheel, which everybody sits there and goes, spin, spin, spin. They're the most profitable machines in the casino, so I'm dying
I know
to know.
I'm a rube. Yeah. I know. Yes. I know we're getting
too. But tell me.
And I'm as excited. My wife is losing our money for the first 40 minutes, it was just, I was like, at least she's happy. Like, fine. Yeah. Right. Like, she's happy.
All right, let me ask, because this is, you know, this gets me excited right now. What denomination of machine were you on?
It was a $5 pull machine. Yeah.
$5 machine.
Yeah.
Expending.
So you're in the high dollar slot today.
Yeah.
You're on a $5 Wheel of Fortune machine?
Mike, you can't take it with you. I found that out on Wednesday. night when I got hit by a car.
Well, we've never had the opportunity to try.
You're gambling more. I'm proud of you that you're gambling like I am, degeneratively.
Well, I was sad, and my wife was happy, you know?
Not degeneratively. That's your spine after the accident. Okay, so you're on. What do you hit? What do you hit? Just tell me what the bar said.
We hit something that said a Wheel of Fortune, Wheel of Fortune. Not,
like the
spin.
Icon for the jackpot.
Yes. You know.
I know what you're doing. I know. You're not talking about the triple or the double.
No. Yeah,
come on. All right. So you hit the jackpot. You get two of them?
We got that guy, and then we got a double diamond.
Oh. Yes.
And then we got a seven.
Oh, that's a big hit. On a $5 machine, that's a massive hit.
Yes and no. Because.
Okay.
This is how they get you.
Which was a bigger hit?
Were you gambling max credits?
I was. Because you're gambling then $10 on that pull.
Okay,
you get two credits.
Yes. Mike, you're so excited.
Tell me I lost my ass.
Let me preface it with this. When you hear the back and forth with myself and the pit boss.
The attendant.
Because
it's the attendant. That's who it is.
Las Vegas style gambling. It's still
gambling.
Me.
So much more.
You go to Wisconsin to hunt.
They want your ID. They want your tax ID.
I've never had to pay taxes on anything.
Okay, all right. But how much did you win?
$1,600.
That's a big, big
hit. That's a big one. That's big.
That's a wonderful hit.
Should that be considered a jackpot?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anytime it's four digits.
It's a lot of money to me. I get it.
Yeah. It's a lot of money to anybody.
I feel like that jackpot is more like on the quarter machines. Like, I wanted that jackpot to be $1.6 million.
Right. What if?
No. That would be the one that's tied into all the other machines.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's how they do it. They do it like radio contests used to be.
Well, because I thought I was like, hey, I'm paying top dollar. They're paying out top dollar.
This after is your car accident, Las Vegas owed you that jackpot.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I would say
a lot of copays.
Now with the losses, as far as gambling is concerned, the evening before, when someone was trying to teach me how to play roulette, with those losses.
Thank you, Michael Corleone.
As I said to Shannon, I think we're even. I think we're even.
It's wonderful.
I think we're even.
That's a happy story.
That is a happy story.
Did you hit it at the downtown Grand?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I gave you that. I gave you that money.
Next time, Mike, stay at home, write him a check.
Yes. All right. We're running late. We'll have another short segment. Feels like they're all short. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Was so
exciting. Hey, how's it going, my TMOS friends? This is your boy, Tomo. You probably haven't heard from me a while because I've been deplatformed. I've been censored. Yeah, that's what happens when you love this country. They just cancel culture. Well, the good news is TMOS is still spreading the message that the mainstream media wants to hear. Today's show is brought to you by foodprepper.darknet. They may have deplatformed us, but you still need to eat. All right. Well, if you need me, I'll be down in Florida in my bunker.
Sounds like it could have been Todd doing that voice, doesn't it?
It is Todd.
I think it is Todd.
Is Todd?
I came home to that in my email box, and I dropped my jaw. I said, what the hell is I just hear?
Todd, you got to come on the next trip. You're not allowed not to come.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. An offer has been placed, Mike. An offer has been accepted, and they're just going through inspections.
Very, very exciting. Yeah. Well, Todd would be interesting to have the meeting I'm going to have with you guys after the show. Getting in shape just isn't about losing weight. It's about changing habits and feeling better about yourself in every way. And get ready for Mike O'Mara to be telling you more about Noom. Because, as you know, I was not happy with my weight gain this year, and I'm ready to dive in full-time with Noom, a habit-changing solution that helps you develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom knows you're human. No food is good, bad, or off-limits. If you go off track, there's no shaming, just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. And thanks to your goal specialist and the Noom community, you're never alone. My favorite part is that Noom has a great food database. Oscar loves Noom. Carla has never looked better.
Yes.
Wow. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS, the last weight loss program you will ever need. It's Noom, and we are happy to be associated with them, ladies
Mike,
and
Mike, I just
gentlemen.
Sent a picture. I'm not a big selfie guy, but I wanted to, remember the moment.
Sure.
When this happened. The machine is an older looking machine. What are your thoughts on old slot machines versus new digital
ones? I like analog old machines.
I do, too.
Me too, right?
And you know what?
I can't stand the electronic ones that are taking over these casinos.
Yes.
They feel fake.
There is the one knock I have on the Downtown Grand is that you have to sort of search out a genuine analog machine. My dad loves a machine called Buffalo, and I watched him play it. He's the only one.
Buffalo took many, many dollars from me.
He and Kathy both had big hits on Buffalo. And I said, how do you win?
Which is the electronic machine.
Yeah. Right? I said, how do you win? He says, I'm not sure, but the machine tells me when I win. Apparently, he says, something to do with coins.
This is what I read.
Yeah.
Jackpot hand pay comes up when they freezes the machine. And I've never been a part of the situation where you're like, verification required. Please call attendant. When I first saw this, I'm like, is that... $1.6 million. And so I was,
because
it looks at first glance, you're like, that's $1.6 million. And it also says,
how do I expand this picture? I want to look at it more.
Okay, I'm going to give you a better picture right now, Mike.
All right, send me a better picture. By the way, I know the machine you're on, and by the way, it's fantastic.
I love the double diamond, Mike. I love the double diamonds family of machines.
They're wonderful.
They
but I like analog too.
Old school.
I can't stand electronic.
Now
I feel like it's first of all, it's totally predetermined.
I do too. Now, how do you feel about the big Charlie machines?
What are the Charlie machines?
The ones that have like 6 foot handles.
Oh, I play those.
I play that. Yeah.
The bigger the better.
I like pulling the two hands.
Yeah, it looks like a basketball on a stick.
Yeah, bring them along.
I love that.
Very nice.
Oh, wow. So when you see the jackpot hand pay, you're like, oh my God, this is crazy.
That is crazy.
And the first thing I thought was like, well, maybe we can get a better flight home.
So what you did is you got multiples of your sevens. That's what you got.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so you got the double. You double. Your Wheel of Fortune was wild.
That was wild, Mike. As Bob Hope would say.
And did that double it too? I'm just trying to see.
So I read the instructions. I initially
$400 pay if you get three sevens across. All right.
Yeah. So it's a 4x that.
Okay.
It was a 4x
four
situation.
Times that.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
You know what's great about the machine he played?
Still
you don't have to
rip off.
Should've gotten more.
Rip off.
Should have gotten more.
Yeah, right.
I agree.
I like
for
that
dollar
playing,
denomination. Yeah. That should have been $16,000 minimum.
I thought you'd have at least a three or a four in front of
that. Yeah.
I applaud the fact that he's playing maximum money on that, but I like that it's not five pay lines. That's where they get you. I don't like that.
Also, if I'm being honest, it was.
I am too, but I don't like the fact that you're made to do it.
It was also maximum desperation.
Right.
Where I was like, oh, please, just make it better. God,
this is the morning you're leaving. This is the morning you're leaving.
This is the. After this, my wife was waiting with the suitcases at the front.
Yeah, but the suitcases were now full of money.
Well, you remember how I talked about on the show how I got the offer from Wynn?
Yeah.
And it's really nice. Now that he has removed himself from the equation,
Steve Wynn is no longer
allowed to run his casinos, that he's still able, because of screwing, he's still able to screw people with that name of that casino. That non-winning, quiet, desperate, horrible, crap, overdone, over-gaudy, we're going to take every nickel, you won't even get enough wins to stay and play for any length of time, suck-ass casino, Wynn.
How do you really feel?
Hate it.
Isn't the air nice in there, though?
Well, the air in Las Vegas, look, it's in my throat. I didn't drink that much. I drank a lot. I drank a lot Friday night, and then Carla pulled me out of the Golden Nugget and got me home in time where I was up bright and early all day. I felt really good all weekend, but my throat is still...
You know, the happiest...
It's not like Rob, who drank 17 bottles of Crown. His voice is... he earned his voice.
You know the happiest Mike was all weekend? Yeah. We had great moment after great moment after great moment. The happiest you were is when I gave you a chapstick.
Yes.
It's
like I handed you a brick of gold.
I don't know. Look, we're all rubes, right? We're from different parts of the world. Right. I come from humid land. It's always humid where I live. Always.
You
never need chapstick of any kind down there. You go to Las Vegas.
Talcum powder you need, but not
this
chapstick.
Time of year. The front that was in Las Vegas sucks every ounce of fluid out of your body. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and they listen, more beverages everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. They ought to, and especially on airplanes, JetBlue.
Yeah, JetBlue.
Thank you for your three ice cubes that melted in 6 seconds with your new Diet Pepsi. Glad you're serving Pepsi products now. You cheap asses. Mike. Thank you.
When you hear Pepsi products, don't you get mad at the establishment?
Oh my God, well, it's the way you want to burn it to the ground.
I don't mind Pepsi products at a mom and pop restaurant where they're getting cheap. What I hate is on JetBlue. We're serving Pepsi now.
They don't have any Coke products on JetBlue?
No.
That's not okay.
You don't have any
Pepsi
options.
Products.
Yeah, bad, right? Sad.
Congratulations on you, jackpot. I too thought for the amount you're betting, for a $10 bet, I thought that maybe it would have been.
It sounds like I'm ungrateful. I'm telling you, for all these years, I've never wanted this amount of money in my life, and I'm still down a lifetime from Vegas. Right. They've taken too much of my money. The only reason we play that one is because we were at the smaller ones, but someone was smoking next to us. So we moved to that that area because no one else was around there.
Yeah. Right. I left a hot table because of a cigarette.
I said, Chan, no one's smoking it. Let's just go. She goes, these are $5. I was like, we're going to be dead anyways one day. Let's just do it. And she's all rickety.
We're almost dead Wednesday night.
She's all rickety. She's like, okay. And she's like pushing. And I'm like, I said, look, and if it hits here, apparently you get paid millions of dollars. I don't know what happens.
Because of the rolling progressive,
Yeah.
The progressives are tied into all the progressives. That's eliminating any chance.
$1,600 for a real gamer. This is the way I understand this. Because I even asked the pit boss or whoever pays you. After I had filled out all the by the way, you get taxed on that. I had to fill out that form.
Yeah, of course. By the way, the $1,600, just enough to pay the government.
Yes.
Thank you.
So he goes, that probably should have been like $4,000.
That's what I was thinking.
The pit boss said that. He goes,
yeah, you got to rip off jackpot.
Yeah, that doesn't look like a jackpot to me.
You know
in this
what it
machine.
Is? Can I tell you? Are you ready for the degenerate slot player that I am? Okay, you know on your machine? I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Let me look at it right now, okay? Because this is what the problem is. The reason it paid like that, when you walk up to a machine that has dollars, when you're playing $5 and it has dollar signs and not credits, you're getting less money.
Oh, my God.
You're getting less money. So the idea that your payoffs on that machine were all with a dollar sign in front of them and not credits, well, it's very simple. $4,000. Make it 4,000 credits.
Yeah.
Do the math. That's
what you should have gotten. That should have gotten.
That's what you should have gotten. Yeah.
And then
in the end, Mike.
You see how serious I am?
I know.
People look at me right now.
He's hostile about it.
Thanks, Downtown Grand.
Dollar signs.
Thanks, Downtown Ripoff. By the way, your avocado toast sucks compared to last year. Thank you. All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. I feel for you, buddy. When you said that to me, I'm like, and I'm looking at the $5 machine. Yeah. I'm like, it was dollar credits.
Yeah.
More of a likelihood probably of you getting a jackpot, but not the jackpot you should have gotten.
No.
If you'd been on credits, if it had credits, that would have been ka-ching.
Big time.
Yeah.
Life changing.
Effers. Yeah. God, I hate Las Vegas. Anyway, we'll take a break, and we will come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, this is Jimmy Cerrito. I'm the King of the Wings. King's Old Town Taverns, world famous Buffalo Wings. Mm-hmm. And the TMOS bonus show are two things that are worth paying for. If it's too tough for you to go to the MikeOmaraShow.com and click the bonus show button, then drop by Jimmy's and I'll teach you how to buy the bonus show. If you want to see the O'Mara's Pub wooden sign with your own two eyes, offer me a ride home. No, fuck it. I ain't doing it. Buy my buffalo wings and the bonus show. You will not be disappointed. No refunds. It'll be okay.
Wooden.
One of the best parts of my weekend was seeing him so much and getting a chance to hang with my best buddy. It was really, really great to see Jimmy. I got to go to the Buffalo Bar with him on Sunday, which was super fun. Go Bills. Carly got to high-five everybody in the bar with a goose.
I'll
tell you the whole thing tomorrow. Tell you tomorrow.
Good.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's hear it for Zappos.
Yeah!
Really, I'm going to just rip this up right here. I'm going to tell. Let me do all the stuff they want me to say. Zappos provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns. They got thousands of retailers to help you get the best look that you can get. Great clothes, great footwear, outerwear, anywhere. Zappos.com. They provide fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you, Zappos. You are the wind beneath our wings. We loved coming out
and
seeing you. We hope to do it again someday. We're not going to do it next year, but we really, really hope that we will be able to maintain our wonderful relationship with Zappos and the professionals that are out there and the kindness of the staff out there, making people that come in to do a show at your theater an absolute joy for 2 years in a row. Zappos, please, to say thank you. Listeners, if you like anything we do, get somebody something for Christmas at Zappos.
Right. That's what we'd like to do. Go through our website. That's
all you gotta do. We'd really, really appreciate that. They're wonderful, wonderful people at Zappos, and we are grateful from the bottom of our hearts. And now it's time for news, ladies and gentlemen.
News!
No one expected the Cincinnati Bengals to be Super Bowl champions, but they weren't supposed to be this bad. They're 0-10, and they are the first team to be eliminated from playoff contention. Tomorrow we'll do our results or whatever.
Okay, very good.
Let me see. The playoffs are the least of their concerns.
Playoffs?
With,
playoffs?
One of their fans has been stuck on a roof for 6 weeks. The guy's name is Jeff Lanham. He's living on the roof of his restaurant until they win. Old-time promotion in radio.
Yeah, I love these promotions.
He went up there on October 7th after the Bengals lost their fifth game. Poor guy. He spends around 23 hours a day in a 12-foot by 10-foot rooftop tent. His meals are delivered by the restaurant waiters, and his wife stops by to do his laundry. The tent has a heater, snacks, a cot, a sleeping bag, and a flat-screen TV so he can witness his Bengals extending his sentence by being terrible.
You know, we've talked to people like this before. I wonder if the waiters or the wife handles what they always refer to as the bucket.
The bucket. He says he only leaves the roof to shower. He leaves the roof to bathroom.
Okay.
There's that.
All right. Yeah,
okay. He also goes down to use the restroom, but he didn't mention that, but I think he does.
All right.
The odds of him staying on the roof the rest of the season are low. These guys that do this, you know they got to really hate it.
Oh, God.
It really gets more painful. The Bengals have a 9% chance of finishing the season winless, and they have winnable games. So, Rob, we might as well try to book him.
All right. You know, all right.
Old radio stuff, because I just like talking to those guys.
Yeah,
they usually got a good sense of humor.
It's
a
restaurant
good way to promote his restaurant.
And, we'll find out about the bucket.
The bucket. Yay. The three best contestants on Jeopardy will face off for the first time in a primetime tournament early next year. Jeopardy, the greatest of all time, takes place over multiple nights, and it'll feature James Holzhauer up against Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, who also had an epic run. The first contestant to win the games will be crowned the all-time champion and walk away with a $1 million grand prize. The tournament begins Tuesday, January 7th. Rutter has a record $4.7 million in Jeopardy winnings. Wow.
I don't know why we never hear about Rutter. Remember when we had Seth Frumkin in here and he said that Rutter was a great, great player and none of us had heard of him?
Isn't it Josh Frumkin?
Oh, forgive me. You're right, because there's brothers. I got the wrong Frumkin. Yeah.
Frumkin was out at
He was. He was
Vegas.
On my flight. Nice guy.
We had a Jeopardy champion that came out and joined us in Vegas. Jennings has 3.5. Holzhauer only has 2.7 million compared to I don't know about Rutter either.
The fastest to get there.
Holzhauer got it fast because of his aggressive play. That's why.
All right, Jennings holds the record for most consecutive games won, 74, while Holzhauer has the record for the highest single game earnings, 131,000.
I think Holzhauer will destroy in this tournament because it's a limited time run, and with his aggressive play, that'll help him win. Yeah, it's great.
But they're eggheads, and they know he's going to do that, so it'll be interesting to see how they prepare for that because those guys have that breadth of knowledge. I can't wait. This is fun.
And Jennings is going to bring a knife.
Knife to a gunfight. When Motley Crue embarked on their farewell tour in 2014, they signed a, quote, cessation of touring agreement, which supposedly stated they could never tour again. Well, that ended up being worth a line of ants going up Ozzy's nose through a straw because they're going on tour again next year. Ozzy!
Hey!
Jimmy, this one's for you. I put this in there because I spent the weekend with you. They posted a video of that agreement being blown to bits.
Oh, God.
It's narrated by Machine Gun Kelly, who played Tommy Lee in the Crue movie The Dirt.
Great film. Yes.
This tour will allow you to get your 80s on big time because they're doing stadiums with Def Leppard and Poison. No dates or venues have been announced yet. I'd go if it wasn't in stadiums.
Yeah.
Back in 2014, Nikki Sixx said the only way to void the agreement would be for all four members to agree, but he added, quote, there are people in this band who will refuse to ever do it again, and you're talking to one of them. Not. There is no amount of money that would ever make me do it again because I have such pride in how we're ending it.
Oh,
I know,
that's
but
such
you know,
a lie. There's an amount of money. It's like a $1,600 jackpot. I'll do it.
There you go. You should listen to music every day. And according to a new study, you should listen to 78 minutes of music every day. That's the amount recommended by the British Academy of Sound Therapy for maintaining good mental health. But you can't just listen to one specific type of music. There's actually a formula that you need. Okay? I love this stuff.
Yeah.
14 minutes of uplifting music to feel happy. It's subjective. Okay. Whatever you think it is. 16 minutes of calming music to feel relaxed.
All right.
16 minutes of whatever you choose to overcome sadness. And then 15 minutes of motivating music to aid in concentration. And another 17 minutes of whatever you choose to help manage your anger. I should listen to more music, especially when I'm getting on JetBlue. even though they recommend 78 minutes, you can't hear the music on my JetBlue flight.
Oh, that's
the flight attendants are going, hate those people. 11 minutes a day still has therapeutic benefits, but they want 78. And it can boost your happiness with just 5 minutes. So,
now, do you listen to music daily? I mean, without the
right
side,
the right song will get you in a good mood.
Yeah,
I probably don't listen to music. You do? I know
every
you're
day.
The music guy. Look at your
love it.
You showed your hoarding basement with your vinyl.
Oh my god! Yeah, it was made my house look wonderful, like a destination.
Right. Yeah, you did a Rob.
You did a great job.
Rob did a great job. Yeah, I mean, two nights in a row of being a great job, even though he wasn't even there on Saturday night. Have you been to any Friendsgiving dinners yet this year? Have you heard of this?
I've heard about it last year, and more so this year, where, if I'm not mistaken, you just go, you don't have family, you just have a Friendsgiving.
That's it.
Julia's doing one before she's coming home for the holidays, and we're doing one at Podcast Village.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a thing, apparently, according to a new survey. Young adults now actually prefer Friendsgiving dinners to Thanksgiving dinner. 68% of people between 18 and 38 say they would rather do Friendsgiving over traditional family dinners, and here's why. 1, Friendsgiving is more social. 2, they get to avoid personal questions from the family. 3, they feel less pressure to impress their guests. 4, they don't have to watch what they say at the dinner table. 5, they don't have to worry about offending a relative. There it is.
This is a game-changing Thanksgiving in our family, because with my Uncle George passing this year, I think it's just going to be me and my kids and my mom at my house. I don't think we're doing a big family thing. So
your wife's not going to be there?
Oh, no, she'll be there. I mean,
you didn't mention her.
She did not mention her.
Well, you know, curious. I meant the family, the inner family. She'll be there because she lives there.
It's a separate Thanksgiving this year.
That's right.
She lives there. She'll be in the house.
She will be in the house. And, you know, we can always message her on Facebook. Tell you, the turkey's ready. Okay. You know, maybe she will go to George's, but she'll be the only one there.
It is so funny. Now,
a little something. Please. There's a 41-year-old guy. He will Facebook messenger the turkeys. Ready? There's a 41-year-old guy named Martin Skelly.
Oh, good.
He's from Clearwater, Florida. He checks in at 5'8" and a delicious 380 bills.
Yum.
On Friday, someone called the cops from a Mickey D's where he was eating to report that he was acting suspicious. When the cops got there, they found that he had a needle full of meth on him, so he was arrested. And when he was being processed at the jail, a body search turned up a surprise. He had a bag of meth in his 5'8", 380-pound belly button, deep within his belly button cavity.
Oh, God!
Grossy.
He was hit with several charges, including 2 felonies for bringing drugs into the jail. So I wrote a poem because that's what I do jet lagged.
You haven't done this in some time.
And the guard who processed Martin Skelly found a bag of meth down deep in his belly, a quick way to get on the local telly. But even now, his fingers still smell. Thank you very much.
That is so much grosser than any other hiding places somehow.
The legend of Martin Skelly. Thank you very much. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Just a jackknife.
Oh my name is Matthew Ponyboy Bloom, and I approve this message.
In this era of fake news, who is our best, most trusted source of entertainment? Clearly not Mike O'Mara. Did you know that Mr. O'Mara voted to defund his interns? He works them for free. Disgusting. Right. Also, the other day, Mike didn't wish Oscar's dog happy birthday. True. Does Mr. O'Mara believe dogs don't deserve love on their birthdays? I think so. Heartless, avid golfer, Floridian. just a few words to describe the monster behind the mic. Let Pony, a proven patriot, lead your mornings right. Sign up for the bonus show to give Pony the spotlight he rightfully deserves. This grassroots movement needs your support. Together, we can dethrone the host with the most medical problems. This ad was paid in part by the OFIC, Organization for Intern Compensation.
I'm still Matthew Bloom, and I still approve this message.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. It sure was a crazy weekend in Sin City, yes?
Yes!
Yes.
You two, you TMOS super fans are the best. You know the old saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Unless it's herpes, but there's no need to get sore. If you want more TMOS fun, just snag the bonus show. It's a commercial-free, no-holds-barred sixth episode of TMOS and features Mike, Oscar, Rob, Maddie, and the Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Pony.
Oh.
Just click on the banner on our website and you get access to all of our bonus content. It makes a wonderful, wonderful holiday gift. The TMOS Bonus Show, brought to you by Trans World Airlines, TWA. Founded in 1930 and controlled by Howard Hughes, who liked to save his pee in jars.
Oh.
And had a fixation on pink Kleenex boxes. So there's that. TWA. Involved in 84 in-flight accidents since 1940. Let me start again. I'm sorry. I'm tired. TWA. Trans World Airlines. Involved in 84 in-flight accidents since 1942, including a collision over the Grand Canyon in 1956 and another mid-air collision. Mid-air collision in 1960 near New York City. No refunds. So it's no wonder the TWA closed up shop in 2001 after declaring its third bankruptcy. Up, up and away with TWA. Now back to Simon and Simon, already in progress. Let's open up that. Boy, oh boy. Did you read that? Did you write that post-weekend or pre-weekend?
Last night, right before I asked if we could bump the mailbag, because I said, you know what, that's all
I
got.
I'm so glad you wrote that last night. That's good. That's alcohol fueled. Oh, my God. Oh,
back to Simon. Two mid-air collisions, both with United flights.
Grand Canyon, didn't know that.
The one over the Grand Canyon said this: that we really have to regulate airline regulations. They had to, and then they did it again in 56. So what do
God
you do?
God bless them.
Bless your hearts. No survivors, no refunds. Mike, do you know Congressman Eric Stalwell?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I do.
He
Absolutely.
Was on with Chris Matthews on MSNBC, and there's a video you probably should take a look at, because I don't know if he was eating a lot of rich food, getting ready for the for the soundbite, but his facial expression and the audio bears out the fact that maybe he'd want to just take this moment back.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no. That was a legitimate fart.
Oh, it was good. The pause and his face.
He always looks awkward anyway, this guy. Did he run for president, or is he just
I think everyone has
head.
At least once, like, right?
Can I hear that again?
Sure. And also, who would think if it was him and Chris Matthews? Probably Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
But it's Eric Stalwell.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Wow. You got to talk through it. You got to talk through it. Yeah, absolutely. One more time.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election.
It's great.
So, oh, my God.
We're all dog owners, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think a dog that watches television is a smart dog or a stupid dog? Because I go back
smart
and
dog.
Forth.
Smart dog.
I have had dogs in my house that when they see animals, they go crazy. But only animals and stuff like that?
We subscribe to dog TV at the house.
Oh, do you really?
And I swear Santos watches likes it.
Does all right. That's funny.
But this is the next level. This looks like a young black lab that is watching TV and is okay as long as it's playing. But when the owner pauses the TiVo or the DVR, dog starts whimpering and going crazy because it stopped moving.
Wow.
Would you want to watch TV?
Oh, he's okay now.
People torturing their animals for our entertainment.
He's watching his stories.
Yeah. But the dog loves watching MSNBC.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
And let us close with Jimmy Kimmel with a very, very valid observation. A lot of people say that pot is a gateway drug.
Joe Biden's doing everything he can to remind us that he is a very old person. Joe Biden says that if elected, he will not legalize marijuana federally because he thinks it might be a gateway drug. You know how we know marijuana isn't a gateway drug? Willie Nelson isn't a crackhead. Okay? Snoop Dogg has a house.
Remember, Snoop Dogg has a house, and what's on the news?
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Welcome home, everybody. Have a great Tuesday.
That's it. We got to get out of here. And everybody out in Las Vegas, thank you, thank you. You listeners are wonderful. So many kind things. And the greatest part for me out there is getting to hear everybody tell me their stories, their personal stories, when we did not one, but two meet and greets and two live shows, which is the most stuff we've ever done on one of our weekends. Yep. And it was fantastic. Great things coming from TMOS in 2020. We look forward to seeing you again. And hope you all had safe travels back to where you were. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm afraid we have a bad image, sir. Market research shows people see you as something of an ogre.
You're to club them and eat their bones.
If you want to throw down in fisticuffs, fine. I've got Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary waiting for you, right here.
Bow to your sensei. Bow to your sensei!